The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
All fear comes from the future. It's all about the future. It's not about the present. It's not about the past. And yet Jesus tells us, don't think about tomorrow. Don't live in the future. Live in the moment. Wherever we are, when we listen to His command to live in the moment, then we get the miracle of the moment.
Next on Life Today, author Steve Scott challenges everyone to let the greatest words ever spoken bring new vision, power, and joy into your life.
Steve Scott is back with us now, and I want you to look at this. The greatest words ever spoken, Jesus, because He's the one that spoke them. This is really one of the neatest presentations of the greatest words ever spoken. I don't really know how they did this. It's not leather bound, but it really feels like it's leather bound. I think it's really important to understand this is something that you can carry very comfortably in any kind of a situation or any place. And to read the greatest words ever spoken, the way Steve, with a real gift God's given him, I'd say he has the gift of marketing. But if, you know, it's really okay if you sell and you market and you close if you're really benefiting the person. I'm gonna tell you something. If you ever go in a store and you think the person's just trying to make a sale, it usually has an effect that's like a turnoff. Mm-hmm. But if you really believe that person is there to serve you and help you and assist you, really want to help you reach a certain goal or accomplish a purpose for which you may have stepped in, then they have your attention. Well, here's a man who really cares about you, and he has that gift. And when he recognizes the greatest thing you'll ever read, and it happens to be the words of Jesus, but what he's done is he's organized it several different ways, topically, different subjects that you can study. I'm going to have him address one of them that just really caught me before we walked out here. And I said, Betty, I'm taking this and I'm going to do that. I really heard from God. Mm-hmm. You do this, and James, you're going to learn something because I was a fatherless kid. So I want you to welcome Steve Scott to Life Today. Would you please, Steve? Good to see you.
So good to see you again.
I mean, you're pretty sharp because you come on our TV show to talk about what you want to talk about, and we pay for the airtime. You're pretty shrewd to be able to do this.
You know what? This is my favorite show.
It's not even
close. Number one, I appreciate your spirit, your love for the Lord, James. I watched you when you were 26 and I was only in college, and saw you minister in an amazing way in Arizona. And I'm just amazed at what God has done through you, what He's done for you. Betty, the fact that you're involved in this ministry is so neat. It just has a warmth. I get to do a lot of interview shows. I've done Larry King and so on. But there's nothing like this place.
Thank you.
You allow your guests to really share their heart, and when their heart is in sync with the heart of Christ, then He gets glorified.
Well, we really want to point to Jesus in mm-hmm. all the different parts of His beautiful family and His body. I think oftentimes we put too much focus on, you know, the person that says kind of in the limelight or the spotlight. And if we who are in the spotlight, we're visible, people watch us, if we can really point to the light,
amen,
to the light of the world, the light that's to be in us. It's really what we try to do, and you know that, Steve. You know, because behind the scenes, this is where we are. You're, mm-hmm. you're with me and Betty when we're not on stage, so to speak. We're not out where the public's watching, and you can hear our heart.
Amen.
And our heart is really for the heart of God to be revealed. We want people to know what a great Father He is. Now, and you and I were talking a while ago. Before we came out here, you really got my attention, and I'd really like, because I was kind of going through, you know, some of these divisions and various subjects that you direct people to where they can read about a particular thing that might be of interest to them. And you said something about Jesus. I want you to tell what you said to me.
First of all, let me say that most believers today don't know what Jesus said. He made 1,900 statements that are recorded in the New Testament. He gave 108 specific conditional promises to his followers where he said, if you do this, I'll do that. And I can ask almost anybody and they can't name 10 of them. He gave 141 commands, James, 141. He said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. And his commands aren't like the commands of the law. His commands reveal the will of God for any given moment in our life. And then they empower us with grace and faith to do the will of God in that moment. And most people don't even know he gave us that many commands, but he said, that's my Father's love language. He said, I love the Father by obeying him, and you can love me and the Father by hearing what I say and doing it. But our focus today, for the last really 50, 60 years, has not been on the teachings of Christ. It's been on everything else. And so what I'm
saying, it kind of been our particular view of some particular truth or statement, and we actually tend to kind of almost build an idol, a shrine or a fortress around it in defense of our view, which may not even be the best view. And if you never hear another perspective, you never hone the iron to a sharp edge, because iron sharpens iron. And this is really tragic.
Right. And when I got into this, it took 2 years to organize them into the 225 topics. But when I started meditating in the words of Christ, I saw a different picture, of Christianity than I'd ever seen. I saw a completely different picture of the Father. When you see the Father, and that's what we were talking about, when you see the Father through the words of Jesus Christ, he said, everything I say, the Father commanded me to say and how to say it. That means these parables that came out of the Lord's mouth aren't from him, they're from the Father. So when I read the parable of the prodigal son, before it used to be Jesus pointing out to the love of the Father, he sees the son afar off. And it says he sees him afar off and he drops everything and he runs to him and he hugs him and embraces him and kisses him before the son can even get a word of repentance out. And I always thought that was Jesus talking about the Father. But when you listen to Jesus and he said, everything I say, the Father commanded me to say and how to say it, you realize that's the Father saying, that's me running after you. And you see him for his great love, his mercy, his grace. And the second chapter of this takes 17 topics. It's everything Jesus said about the Father. And most people have no idea how many things he said about his Father. That was his heartbeat. He lived for his Father. He said, I do exactly what pleases my Father. When you start to see the Father through the lens of Christ, and the whole reason I did this is I wanted to see everything from Jesus' perspective. So if there's a new teaching, instead of me listening to the preachers or anybody else, let me first see what Jesus said and look at what other people are saying through his lens. Let me read the rest of the Word of God through the lens of Christ. Mm-hmm. He made 20 promises about his words.
And by the way, you won't understand the Old Testament if you don't look at the Old Testament through the eyes of Christ. Because he explained the scriptures, he explained the prophets, he explained the Psalms. And if you can't see the whole of the Bible through the screen of Christ revealing it, you will walk in a great measure of a bewildered darkness and not see clearly, but like you could see.
The God that the Pharisees and the scribes were worshiping was not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, they knew all the scriptures, but they didn't know him. He said, you search the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life, and yet they are that which testify in me, and you won't come to me for life. You missed it. Mm-hmm. And what's so exciting about this is when you see, there's not a single question that a person has, not an issue they go through that Jesus hasn't addressed. And when you see how he addresses it, he paints a whole different picture of the Father than what Israel had seen. Mm-hmm. And that's why they rejected him. They couldn't imagine the picture that he paints. And people will fall in love with God the Father like they've never imagined possible. That's what happened to Gary Smalley. It's changed his whole life. But I want to be a little bit practical and just show, how this can be used. The first time we did the book, when it came out in hardcover in 2008, mm-hmm. and I told you I was going through the greatest crisis of my life. The night before, I had found out my son, my 20-year-old son, had cancer. And it was a very life-threatening cancer. And so I came onto your show, totally devastated. Now, as it was, the Lord really worked miracles, and my son had an incredible healing. But the night that I found out, the book hadn't been published, but Random House had made four copies for our show. It's the only reason I had a copy. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, go, open your book, because I was weeping on the hotel bed here in Dallas. And so I opened it up to page 190, which is everything Jesus said on anxiety, worry, and fear. And listen to what I'm just going to show you some of the things that jumped out, because this is how practical the word of the Lord Jesus is. He said, my words are spirit and life, not just information.
Right.
And when we are in trouble, we want spirit. We want his life. It's not enough just to know up here. We want his spirit infused. But listen to what he said. First thing that jumps out, it is I. Don't be afraid. He was in control. It wasn't about my son. It wasn't about his cancer. It wasn't even about me. It is I. Don't be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Steve Scott, take control of your heart. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Stop doubting and believe. Blessed are those who mourn. And James, you know what it is to mourn. And my heart breaks for what you all went through. And it's only our knowledge of him that gets us through something like that. But look at his promise. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Oh, you of little faith, do not worry. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. You have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, even cancer, but cannot kill the soul. Over and over again. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Come to me. You know, when we get in trouble, James, we run to our relatives, we run to our friends, we run to counselors, but we don't run to Christ. And he says, come to me first. Learn from me. That's why this is here, so we can learn from the Lord Jesus. He has answered everything. And I just went through this and over again. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Why are you so afraid? He was giving me instruction, see, as well
and
as peace.
That's what really God showed me through our journey and the loss of our daughter was that I had an opportunity to know him as I've never known him before. And I can truly say that's what God has done, and he continues to. Yeah. He was my comforter. He is my comforter. And he does bring joy in the morning. Because of all, yes, he allowed me to weep because he wept with me.
Amen.
He allowed me to be angry. He allowed me to go through all the emotions that we go through when we lose someone we love.
Yep.
And yet he was right there.
Amen.
And I never felt like he left me. I feel like my walk with him is stronger today than it's ever been.
We don't teach our children how to run to Christ.
Mm-mm.
We just, in a church that I attend in Salt Lake, we had a young 15-year-old commit suicide. And he had moved to Seattle with his parents. He's used to running to his grandpa. Every time he would get depressed or bullied, he'd run to grandpa. And then he moves to Seattle and he can't run to grandpa. And he takes his own life. Nobody ever taught him to run to Christ. Listen, Christ said, I'm lonely. I've been bullied. I've been persecuted. There's nothing we go through that he hasn't gone through. Everything, everything, Betty. And if we could teach our kids, and that's what we're doing now, my kids will say, Dad, what do you think about such and such? And I'll say, it doesn't matter what Dad thinks. Thanks for asking, but let's see what Jesus thinks. And we'll turn to the subject, and we can find, and their eyes light up when they start to read what Jesus said about their answers. And they see that he's real. And our kids now, the Scott kids, are learning how to run to Christ instead of just mom or dad. And that's what's becoming important in their life.
What I think you've done, and you are a gifted communicator. You're gifted at helping people see things they need, and not only saying it's available to you, but show you how it'll help you. That's a gift he has. And he's done a lot to help people physically or any way he could or give them good advice. But, you know, when you were here before, you had this first version. I said, you need, the letters of Jesus in red. You listened, didn't you?
Well, you not only said that, you held the book up and you said, the greatest words ever spoken by Stephen K. Scott. Oh, but these aren't his words. These are the words of the greatest man who ever lived, Jesus Christ. And then you told me afterwards, you said, you ought to put his name on there. So, yeah, I listened.
Yeah, and he got the letters, red letters. But it is so marvelous, and I think that what Steve has done is that he's made it easy for you to go to various areas of concern and listen to Jesus as he addresses them, as the one who knows how to comfort, and so understood our need to be guided to truth and to be comforted and to have a peace within, that he sent another one just like himself to live in us so that he'd be with us all the time. The Holy Spirit will lead us to the words of Jesus as he addresses various issues of concern to us. So, Steve, I feel
he's done something real
special for people here.
What you just said, Jesus said, when he was identifying the ministries of the Holy Spirit, he said, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I have said unto you. But today we don't put Jesus' words into our mind, so we rob the Holy Spirit of that ministry. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've found is I've been doing this for the last 8 years, that, man, now the Holy Spirit can take the words of Christ and fulfill that 11th ministry of his in bringing those words to mind for any given moment. And that's the miracle, is he takes us, you know, we talked about fear earlier, Betty, and all fear comes from the future. It's all about the future. It's not about the present. It's not about the past. And yet Jesus tells us, don't think about tomorrow. Don't live in the future. Live in the moment. Say not, there are yet 4 months, and then come the harvest. I tell you, look up. Behold, the fields are white unto harvest. So he wants us to live in the moment. The future might be 10 minutes from now, but right now is the moment, see? And that's just one of his commands, but it brings us into the miracle of the moment, whether we're at a restaurant, on an airplane, on a set, wherever we are, when we listen to his command to live in the moment, then we get the miracle of the moment.
Well, the words of Jesus are the greatest words ever spoken. And Steve has done a really, I think, a very effective job of making it easy for us to go and read his words. And I'm excited about meditating just on the things that he said about the Father, because I love the Father. I want to know him even better. So I'm going to analyze this in the next couple of days. I'm going to meditate on it. Mm-hmm. We meditate on his word. Very, very important. Our pastor, Robert Morris, has been teaching us the importance of living in the greater freedom that comes from meditating in his word. And then the word is not merely carried by us, but it actually carries us. It's miraculous. Amen. Would you say thanks to Steve Scott for what he's done to give us something that I think is very helpful?
Thank you.
You can go online and get it. You can get it in the bookstores. And like I said, it's really well done. It's very easy to carry any way you want to, anywhere. I want to tell you this. I'll be happy to send it to you today. But I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to do what Jesus said he left you here to do. As the Father sent him, so send I you, he said. And he didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. In other words, to release this river of life to others. And the way we do it is we express the heart of God by actually, as his family, his body, the body of Christ, as believers, we extend his hands. And I want you to look very closely. And I'm asking you, please don't look away. Look and say, okay, God, what do you want to do about that? And then you be the agent, Amen. The expression of what God wants to express. Watch.
Some see suffering like this and say it proves God is not real. Or worse, that he exists, but he's indifferent to the suffering of the people he made. But the truth is, it's in these very situations that the hand of God is most present. And you can see him if you look with the right eyes. God is here, in the hands of a mother, doing all she can to sustain a sick child. He's here, in the hands of doctors and nurses, holding back the onslaught of death in their countries. And he's here in the hands of the missionaries who give all just to see one more life saved. But we can't do it alone. To touch those areas of greatest need requires help from people like you. Because in the end, the extent to which we can be the hands of God is in yours.
You can literally extend the hands of God. That was our oldest grandson who married now just a few weeks ago. And he had so much love filling his heart, it just overflowed as he looked at his bride. But that young man that was touching that little baby, he's been in the mission field now many times, he began to care when he was only 4 for the poor and the hungry. I saw his hand there, but I saw more than a grandson's hand in Africa, in hard-hit Angola, where they're experiencing drought, and we need a miracle right now to save 100,000 children that will die if we don't have a miracle support. We got 400,000 right now that we're caring for, and in those malnutrition clinics where you saw the little drip feeding and you saw the mother trying to feed, that's food you provided, caring people provided. The support to have the doctors there, to even have built the clinic, that all came from love. But to keep them from even reaching that state of desperation, where it's the last resort, we feed, where you see the long lines of children and the missionaries giving out the bowls that you paid for, people like you, and the food in it. Betty, it all comes from people who are, in fact, the hands of Jesus, laying hands on the sick and the desperate in love and saving their lives.
Yes. Will you be the hands of Jesus? Will you reach out with those that care and want to make a difference in the lives of these children? The mothers have done all they know to do. They love them. They love their babies, but they have no help for them. We do. I hope you will join with us and let's get them the help that they need.
I'm confident that you'll find as great a joy in knowing I get to put the hands of God on the broken and suffering. I'm going to give those mothers hope. I'm going to give those children a chance at life. I'm going to give families a future. If you'll dial that number there, that's always there as a prayer line for you. And even as we're appealing to save lives, the majority of the calls today will be, would you pray for me? You better believe it. Because God loves you and He loves through people. But if you would help, dial the number, take your bank card, or go online, lifetoday.org, and make the largest gift you can make. 30, 50, or 100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for several months. Could you make a gift like that? We need to feed 100,000 desperate children right now, and we need it immediately. So I'm praying that we can have 1,000 friends, even today, who will give $1,000. You'll feed 100 children, and we got 100,000. So we need 1,000 of you to do that. We want to send you gifts to say thank you. We want to send you something that will remind you of the power of love. And we want to send you a book that I've written about dads, the blessing of a father, a dad's blessing. It's going to bless you. Our son wrote a book, Rise Above. I'm telling you, it's how to be lifted by faith above anything you ever imagined by the power of God. You're going to like it. We want to bless you, but we're asking you to save lives and bless by being a blessing to these precious children. Go online or go right now, call the number, use that card like a check. Make the best gift you can and know you're giving life and expressing love.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation. And those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Angola facing its worst drought and food shortage in 20 years, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for our feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for the next 3 months. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you this inspirational two-book gift set. A Dad's Blessing by James Robison is packed with valuable fatherly wisdom and insight for dads of all ages. Rise Above by James and Betty's son, Randy Robison, will show you how to soar far above the circumstances of life and go higher in your walk with God. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you'll receive our Blessing Bowls, a great way to teach your family about giving and a daily reminder of God's provision for hungry and hurting children. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, and you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I love this beautiful glass sculpture. It will reflect the light wherever you put it. It's the blessing. I think this little child is reaching out to bless. You might think he's reaching out to get a blessing. I think he's reaching out to be a blessing. Help us, if you will. We need a miracle. We need 1,000 of you to make a very special gift. If you'd like to have any gift you make today, we'll send you the book that I wrote, that Randy, our son, wrote to help you. But if you'd like to have this one that Steve Scott put together, The Greatest Words Ever Spoken, by Jesus, you'll like it. We'll send it to you. It'll bless you to say thank you for helping others. Join Betty and me, if you will, here in the audience, in saying thanks again to Steve Scott. Thanks for being with us.
Brother.
Appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
God bless you, and I hope you will get the blessing from the words of Jesus. Thank all of you. Thank you for being with us. Thanks for your help. Thank you for extending the hands of God.
The secret of eternal youth.
Tomorrow, join Christine Kane on Life Today for Wednesdays in the Word. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.